Blog Talk Radio.
Pen. I'm Coach Pen.
Hello, everyone out there in women's football world. I actually found myself chuckling on the intro right there, so I was kind of in awe of. I didn't realize that was coming up. It's been so long since I've been on the air, but I'm glad to be back, everyone. The 2010 IWFL football season is moments away. I actually have a countdown clock here for you. 2 days, 20 hours. 59 minutes and 1 second, 0 seconds, 59 seconds, all until kickoff on the East Coast for the 7 p.m. game. I do have to wait an additional 2 hours. Our game does not start till 6, and that's at Downey High School for those of you listening in the Southern California area. It's a big game, and we'll get to it soon. Got all sorts of things to cover. I've been gone for 4 months, gone off the radio, I should say, not actually gone. I've been dealing with football stuff. We've got a new team this year, the California Quake, a bunch of new bodies out there and a ton of new rookies, and we've been conditioning, weightlifting, running plays, learning how to play football, and it's kind of crazy. So I didn't really have time to get on the show, but my ears always been out there. I've been listening, and this is my 9th season with women's football, and I love it so much that I actually watch as much film as I can on every team and try to communicate with all the coaches that I can. And tonight I have a very special show for you. I have several guest coaches on. Got Coach Ed Williams of the KC Tribe. That's the defending IWFL Tier 1 champion right there. He's going to be on a bit later. Coach Mack of the Wisconsin Warriors. He's the assistant head coach, I think it is his official title. He's also the defensive coach, but more importantly right now for me, the show, he is the special teams coordinator for the Team USA that will be playing in Switzerland later this year. I'm hoping that Coach Killian joins him on the phone call. He's the head coach of the Wisconsin Warriors, defending IWFL Tier 2 champion. But first and foremost, I got a special treat for you. Our first game is against the Seattle Majestics. That they are, as in the California Quake. And tonight I have first-year head coach, Coach Josh Billinger, on with me, and I'm going to get him to answer some questions and go back and forth because he's got practice in about 15 to 20 minutes. So, Coach, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Actually kind of cold right now. I was hoping we'd have hot weather for when you came down here, but the weather's dropped like 20 degrees in the last 2 days.
Wow, really?
So,
20 degrees?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's not going to be good.
Well, it's supposed to warm up. I'll give you a little insider information. It's supposed to be in the high 60s to low 70s for Saturday and Sunday, but right now it's like mid-50s, low 50s. So,
wow,
I'm a little
okay.
Cold out on my back porch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you never know with Southern California weather, because it was actually supposed to rain today and tomorrow, and it hasn't rained a drop today. So there you go.
Okay.
All right, so let me be the first besides your team to welcome you to the world of women's football.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
All right. So as a first-year coach with women's football, your first year, how long have you been coaching boys or men's football?
I've actually been coaching for the last 4 seasons, junior football. I did a couple of different age groups, starting with boys 11 years old, and then going all the way up to 13 and 14 age groups. So I've done that for the past 4 seasons. First 2 years, I was more on the special teams. I did kind of the scout team, second team stuff for the offense. And then the past 2 seasons, I've been both the offensive coordinator, and then this past season I've been the co-head coach this past season in 2009.
So this is your first actual head coaching gig, all-outright head coaching?
Yes, it is.
Well, congratulations there, too. That's an honor in itself.
Thank you.
Yeah, I coached six seasons before I became a head coach, even though I was coordinators and assistant head coaches and all that fun stuff. So I know what you're going through. 2 years ago was my first year as a head coach, and it was kind of fun. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I do have a couple questions for you. Because you're starting out with the 11 to 13-year-old men and you have the women who are full-grown adults, what are some of the major differences you've noticed in this 3 months?
I think the major differences is just kind of what you said. You know, I'm dealing with, grown-ups versus, youth boys. And it's different in their own rights where, I kind of feel entitled to, treat the players as adults and, kind of hold them to more of a professionalism that I would hold than some of my youth players, where I kind of have to tell them where to be and how to be. Obviously, some of those similarities have happened this year, but for the most part, just trying to treat the adults like adults. I think that's been fun. And then also is just, moving from anything in women's sports. This is my first time just coaching anything in women's sports, and just getting used to it. And I think I had a real bad habit before. One of my key words was gentlemen on the football field, and I can't call the ladies gentlemen anymore. So that's been something that's been kind of a learning experience for me, but it's been fun.
Yeah, I'm chuckling on this end because every time I get a new coach, I got to get them to switch their pronouns. It's a new, like, one coach that never actually made it through the whole season, but he, every time he's saying, when the Mike linebacker, when he does this, I'm like, he's not going to do anything. He's on the sideline. She's out there playing football, though, and he's like, oh, man, I gotta write that down or something just so I can practice at home in the mirror, and it's fun to hear those stories.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been great.
All right, well, that's awesome, and you actually walk into a very, very good scenario. Advantageous is a word I might use to describe it. The Seattle Majestics have been, I think, undefeated 3 years in a row, and then the year before that they were 7-1. So their regular season has been pretty stellar. They haven't really made it past that playoff hump yet. So do you feel any added pressure to continue the level of success that they've managed to work up over these past several years?
I would say, yeah, definitely. One of the things that when I was actually coming in on the, position, when I sat down with the owners and we talked and I told them, that there's already a tradition of winning here, and that's not something that I want to change. That's not something that, can be changed. That the attitude is already there. Just basically for me to come in is just make those minor adjustments, those minor tweaks, because I believe football is all about doing the little things well. Maybe some of those smaller things that, those walls that were being ran into in the postseason, hopefully that this year, we can make those necessary adjustments in doing those small things well, and then hopefully in turn, making us a better football team in the postseason. Because like you said, they've had a tremendous record in the past couple of seasons. And I think translating that into having the same mentality in the postseason, is going to be our challenge for this year, but something that we're up for and get ready to move forward with.
Yeah, and I will commend you for that, because I'm not envious of your position at all. When I took over head coach of the Quake, they were not a top-notch team. They had a lot of great athletes. They had very good previous coaching. But they were never top-notch or, one of those teams everybody worried about. And I was lucky enough to have the coaching staff and the personnel and the players and the backing by management to take us to 8-0 that first season. And that was something I'm very proud of, to have turned the team around. And last year was not so much difficult for me because I knew it was going to be hard. But, I know it would be totally different if I took over a team that was just so good already. couple more things I want to chit-chat with you about. I appreciate your honesty. That's one of the things I pride the show on, is no pool punches, because I don't need those PC remarks and those just regular off-the-cuff answers that most people give. So I appreciate your honesty on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Your schedule.
Okay.
Seattle, I think one of their probably biggest negatives is they've always played the same two or three teams all year. And this year you have the Quake, the Siren, the Shockwave, who you're very familiar with, the Scorpions, the Maniacs, and Tucson. So you have a very, very different and broad schedule. Do you think that'll help keep the players invigorated and pushing forward? And second part, in the playoffs, do you think the fact that you played all these different teams could help that hump get past?
Yeah, I definitely think it will help us out a whole bunch. First off, is kind of what you mentioned. You know, all those teams, you know, essentially run different offenses, and obviously a lot of different defensive schemes that they run as well too. So just being more rounded and seeing a lot more football, you know, a lot more different teams, because you know it's one thing to, like you said, you know, the Portland that we know, you know, that we play, you know, and even this season we play them a little bit more than we wanted to. But, you know, that's somebody that, you know, it's always going to be a rivalry for us in the Northwest area. But just getting out, you know, and getting that exposure and seeing those different teams and getting all up and down the West Coast and having teams come and, you know, come to the Seattle area, I think it's just going to be great for us, you know, in general. And like you said, hopefully in turn, you know, will help us get over that hump. And, you know, I think for us, you know, our main goal is just to win football games. And I think whoever's coming to town or wherever we're going, we're just going to have that attitude to, you know, to win the football games. But as also, as you mentioned too, I think it's going to be good to have a lot more different opponents, so we can size up, you know, and kind of see where, you know, everybody's coming from in the league.
Yeah, I get you there, because one year we played Tucson four times in one year, and I know that last year you guys had to play Portland. The fact that Portland's going to be much stronger, and I've seen some of the things on some of the boards about Portland being a sleeper team this year because of the folding of Corvallis. They picked up some of their players, and I think that that only increases the level of competition and makes the West Coast that much better, because I already know the West Coast doesn't get a lot of respect when it comes to the league in general.
Yeah.
Your first-year coach is already chuckling at that, so you already know, too. So there you go.
I've heard the small talk in the chuckles, but I think, you know, in football in general, I think, you know, it's kind of like on any level and in any sport, you know, on any given Saturday or any given day, you know, anybody can be beat. So I think competition and level of competition is, you know, and all about, you know, who the opponent is. So.
All right, and then lastly, because of all this different teams that you're playing, you have, who is it, Modesto, which I guess isn't that long of a trip, but that's a trip, and then Tucson coming to you, but besides that, you have to travel to Southern California twice. Once this weekend to come see me and the Quake, and then once again in about a month, I guess you could say, to see the SoCal Scorpions down in San Diego. So do you think those long travel games are going to affect? Because one of the things I've noticed about Seattle over the past several years is they don't play as well on the road, or at least the scores are closer, I should say. Maybe not that they don't play as well, but the scores have always been closer. What is something that you try to do to make sure that the travel for these long-distance games doesn't affect your team?
I think just having a plan in order. You know, I'm really big on, you know, making sure your travel arrangements, you know, because most of the players obviously, you know, make their travel arrangements on their own, and, you know, the owners are really good about helping out and making sure everybody gets there in ample time, you know, hopefully the day before the game. So that everybody can be well-rested, you know, get a good night's rest before the game. The good thing that you kind of mentioned is you know, the, both of the teams are in California, so there's not too much of a time zone change there. It's more of just, you know, some of the girls that, you know, have to financially, you know, have to maybe make the drive, you know, just making sure that they get enough, you know, enough time to be down in California and well-rested. I think, you know, always playing on the road is always going to be tougher than playing at home. That's the one thing that, you know, I always believe. But I think for the most part, you know, as long as we can, you know, go in there, you know, full force, healthy, ready to go, try to make sure everybody is on the same page, making sure everybody, like I said before, has ample sleep, and, you know, that as, you know, a offense or as a defense, you know, as if we're clicking, you know, I think a lot of what we are going to have to do before the actual game starts, you know, as far as pregame, I think that's going to have to play a lot of the part, into how we come out, if we come out faster or come out slower. So my job, obviously, as the head coach is to get us ready to play and to make sure that the girls come out, fast and ready to start.
Yeah, and I actually talked to my team about that last night because we have so many rookies on our team this year. It's like, coming out flat is the worst thing you can do in any football game, and it's always difficult to find what motivates the women. So that's always been a challenge for me each and every year, is getting everybody motivated, especially for that first game when there's so many jitters.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you for being on the show. It's great. I know you have practice, and I think it's 7:15 now, and I just give you enough time to get on over there and get everything started. So I want to wish you a safe travel down to Southern California. Hopefully we have semi-nice weather for you. And I look forward to meeting you in person and having a great game on Saturday. Okay, Coach?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, and in the best of luck to you as well, Coach.
All right, thank you. You have a great, great season, and I look forward to meeting you Saturday around 4:30, I say. We'll make it a date. 4:30?
All right, yeah, definitely. Looking forward to it.
All right, Coach, thank you very much, and get to practice now.
All right, thanks.
Bye. All right, you're welcome. All right, that was Coach Billinger, the first-year head coach of the Seattle Majestics. Hope everybody got to know him a little bit. This year I'm only planning on having 3 shows, with the IWFL preview season being my first. Then I'm going to hopefully, during one of my byes, have what is it called? I guess a mid-season review, and then I'll have one right before the playoffs, and maybe during the Team USA ordeal to kind of go over what's in depth, what's going on in the playoffs, because then I'll have a lot of time to watch film and give everybody nice breakdowns and what I see and all that fun stuff, kind of fill you in on what's going on in the IWFL. Now I have a lot of stuff to cover. And BJ was nice enough. Thank you, BJ, who's on the technical end of this show. She's routing the callers. And for those that can hear the sirens in the background, I live in the LBC. And for those of you who have never heard Snoop Dogg, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Every now and again, I did move. I no longer live right down the street from the beach. I live 7 miles away from the beach, so those of you in the inlands probably still hate me because I still get a very good beach breeze. Ended up buying a house up in North Long Beach and sitting out on the back porch area where it's kind of cold. I had to actually put a knit cap on and my sweater, and every now and again you'll hear sirens because the street that I live on, we found out, the police use it as a cut-through because it's no traffic and it's a very wide street. Yay for me. So with that said, I see Coach Ed's on. I believe I will have him on talking next. So, Coach, if you want to call in, feel free to. That would be wonderful. When I cover later, after I talk to all the coaches, I'm going to discuss week 1 games, the ones that stick out to me, and then kind of just lightly go over week 2 because there is a couple major games in week 2. And because women's football is the way it is, you never know what's going on until the games are played. Every team every year is completely different than the year before. Just ask any defending champion. They're never the same the next year, and that's just how women's football is until it really hits mainstream. It's going to be that way. I mean, you know who your powerhouses is, but you don't know if that one person took that next step. Because remember, 2 years ago, KC was 4-4. Last year, undefeated, Coach Ed takes the KC Tribe to the IWFL Tier 1 Championship. Coach Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm a little cold, but I'm okay. It sounds stupid saying cold to somebody who's been practicing indoors because of snow all preseason, but,
exactly.
I'm cold. I'm cold. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we were just happy to have an opportunity to get outside eventually to actually be able to stretch our legs a little bit.
Yeah, I was actually talking to one of the All-Stars, Aaron, I think it was, from the Iowa Crush, who we actually played the first week. I was talking to her, and she's like, we've been practicing indoors for 3 months. This sucks.
Yeah.
So, the weather this year has been quite strange, and I'm sure everybody on the East Coast dealing with the snow and the rain, and everybody in the Midwest with all the snow, and even Texas. I mean, I heard they're getting a ton of snow.
Yeah.
So, how has the offseason gone for you?
You know, we're really excited. Our offseason has went very well. Obviously, we start our offseason a lot sooner than most folks. We've been going since early October. So pretty much it was a long season for us last year, even from the championship game and taking a couple months off. But, you know, the girls, they were calling me getting ready to start again. And so we've been really we didn't want to change too much of the process of what we did to get there. So we've been really busy, but it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I remember chit-chatting with you in December, and you were telling me that, you know, Foxes were starting up, and I was like, people call me crazy for starting in January.
yeah.
I have heard some stuff about your program, and I definitely want to talk to you more about that stuff on a probably later show where we can do a little in-depth 30-minute segment about your off-season program, because I think it's got some really good stuff on it. And the reason I know that is because you have one of my former players.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Giza talks nothing but good about you, and she's really impressed with the programming that you run, and she's like, it's so much different than how you do it. I was like, different is good sometimes, and she's like, no, it's a little bit more intense, I can see because you're such a speed team. Some of those, I call them mat drills, and some people call them fourth quarter drills. It's different, but how those things affect and. I mean, I think that's great that you have already implemented that because Dallas is the only team that I know carries an off-season regimen that actually basically goes all year with exception of that 1 or 2 months off. So it's good to see that another team has taken that road.
Yeah. Yeah, our idea is basically once we step into our January practice for the first time, we're in full pads and we're full go, full offense, full defense.
Yeah, people are still figuring things out on my end. We always hold one extra practice, one extra trial in January for those who heard late, and hopefully we get started in February. And it's funny because Coach Duncan in the Amazon and Coach Manny of the Breakers, they when we started up in January, he's like, man, we're not starting up in February. And then we did that West Coast Clinic thing. And they're like, well, now we got to start. We're just going to start January 16th, so we'll only be 2 weeks behind you. They're always messing with me. But so how does it feel to be defending IWFL champion? Is the pressure on this year?
Well, you know what? I don't really look at it as pressure. I talk to the ladies all the time about us playing our brand of football, and that's what's more important for us. You know, pressure is what you make it. I mean, we have to play one game at a time, and I know that's such a cliche, but it's so true. And you can't worry about the next opponent until you play the current opponent that you have. So I really try to keep them focused on that and not really get into, well, we need to win this and win that. I mean, winning is a result of you being able to compete, and that's one of the things I tell the girls all the time.
All right. Well, with that said, your first opponent's the Iowa Crush,
mm-hmm.
and Crush is a pretty good term because that's basically what you did to them last year.
Yeah.
And I believe the Iowa Crush is a Tier 2 team, am I correct?
Yeah, they've moved down to Tier 2 this year.
Okay. So, I mean, I know that a lot of people have complained and made – disparaging remarks about the fact that we have this Tier 1, Tier 2 thing in the IWFL, yet they play cross things. And I mean, it's a necessary evil right now because of, you know, traveling. And
yeah.
I wanted to get your feelings on how you think this improves the state of the game in general. Because, I mean, 62-0 really doesn't look good, but, I mean, there's a lot of positive aspects in it. And could you discuss some of those for me?
Well, I think that you touched on it just a minute ago earlier when you talked about us being 4-4 the previous year. And what I can say is that you look at the Kansas City market, even though a lot of people feel a lot of different things about Kansas City, we're really a Tier 2 market if you just look at the sheer numbers of girls that come out for us. But, you know, we want to compete at the higher level. And one of my things that, you know, I had opportunity to play against Dallas, Detroit, and even Chicago. You know, I wanted their best game. I didn't want them to take it easy on my girls because I felt that, you know, we had to learn to compete, as I said earlier, on the level in order for us to be able to have an opportunity to compete for a championship. And so that was always my take and my sentiment on it. And I believe that, you know, just like the Warriors, you know what, they may be a Tier 2 team, but, you know, we played them and they played us really close in our second game. You know, conditions kind of played a factor, but they still play their butts off. And you know, and that's just the difference. And I don't think that the parity that a lot of people feel in the Tier 1 versus Tier 2 is always there. Now, I will admit that there are some teams that may be lacking the coaching staff or lacking their training, and that's what causes them to be subpar. But it's not a result of, you know, the girls not being, I believe, being able to naturally compete.
Right. And I will second a lot of the things you say in there, because I believe that while coaching is very important, all the girls actually want to learn how to play football and play.
Absolutely.
And I don't care what person you are, they want to have fun playing football but getting better at it. I mean, they all have that deep down desire to get better at being a football player. I've been doing this for, like I said, 9 years, and I've never come across a girl that's just like, hey, I just want to play football. Well, yeah. you want to learn how to play football. Well, yeah, I want to learn how to play football. Okay, I just want to make sure your goals are where I need them to
exactly.
be, so I know whether to take you seriously or not.
Right.
You know, and I mean, no matter if you're getting beat or if the score is just really lopsided, I mean, the fact that you realize what's going on and give 100% and learn from the experience is very, very important for everybody that you play against, whether it's Tier 1 or Tier 2.
That's right. And, you know, there's teaching opportunities in every game that you play, whether you come out on the positive end. As I said before, the ability to compete and winning is a result of that. And, you know, that really is the true focus. But one other point I wanted to make regarding the Tier 2 versus Tier 1, if you look at even the championship game, you know, the DC Divas, they had a ton of girls. But if you keep the focus on, I'm going to put the best 11 out in the field at one particular time, I think that you equalize all that.
Oh, yeah, you kind of proved that. And I think the Warriors, even at Tier 2, proved that too, because they had
Absolutely.
Less people than you.
They did.
And Montreal and DC had like a gaggle of people. I think they tapped out their limit size.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was amazing to see the two smallest squads take on the trophies. And I was impressed with both of your teams, and that will – for those of you who don't know, I was actually on your sideline being the ball boy, so I got to see how your team operates.
And we
was very impressed with how I was very impressed to see how things worked, and it was nice to meet some of the ladies on your team and get to talk to them. And it was a well run organization. I will say that from what I saw.
Thank you.
So let's get back to your schedule now.
Okay.
I see that you have four Tier 2 games, which
mm-hmm.
to me, truthfully, the Warriors. They're not a Tier 2 team. I said this all last year. And I saw their rosters a lot bigger than last year now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the Warriors, to me, is always a Tier 1 team. And so I see that as being your fifth Tier 1 game. But, I mean, look at these Tier 1 games you have. Week 2, Dallas.
Yeah.
Week 4, Chicago, at Chicago.
Absolutely.
And I know they're a fierce rivalry with you guys.
Absolutely.
Then you have the Diamonds again toward the end of the season going to Dallas, which – I've enjoyed watching those games on film. I was kind of disappointed when you guys didn't play each other last year because those were some good games 2 years ago.
Right.
And then you finished up with the Chicago Four, so you guys had that three-game rubber match with, and you ended up just decimating their championship hopes to get back to the championship at home. So that was a surprise to me. I never saw the score being that lopsided, especially after what Chicago did to Seattle. So you have a pretty rough schedule ahead of you this year, don't you?
Well, you know, we're really, really happy with our schedule. I think what's important is that you have a level of competition that each day you come out or each game you come out that, you know, you have to play. There's no cakewalks. I mean, I don't consider our first game as a cakewalk, you know, because, you know, if they've trained and they've done the things that they need to do to get better, they're going to be really competitive with us in their first game coming out the gate. And so we like that, just personally. It also helps with strength of schedule. To be honest.
Oh yeah, the rating system. Let's not forget about that. I'm hoping that it doesn't get released to week 3 like it's supposed to. But right now, Massey doesn't have any rankings, and I like that. It shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
We should wait till some games are played, then do your ratings, please.
Yeah.
Don't base anything off of last year.
I agree as well. I know in the preseason polls and stuff that they have out there, I see where they have us ranked at. But you know, as I said before, you have to play, and once you play, then you can determine all that stuff, and it'll work itself out.
Yes, and I totally agree, and I think there's a bunch of big games in week 1. So what are you keeping your eye on with the league right now? Like, what game is most intriguing to you this week, with exception to your own? Because, I mean, I know our focus is always our game, but the coaches that are always in tune with the game, and I know you're one of them because I see you online almost as much as I am.
Yeah.
What game is standing out to you?
I would probably say I'm going to stick within my the teams that I play, obviously, in the Chicago-Wisconsin game. I'm really excited to see how the new additions for Wisconsin is going to work out. But I'm also excited to see some of the new faces with Chicago. I know that they've really bulked up their roster. They have some young talent, but I'm sure it's good talent. And I know that Coach does a really good job there, Konecki, there in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see that match up and get that film and get an opportunity to watch the game.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I like the new film system, too, by the way. Have you checked that out?
Yeah, I have. I've been able to catch some games that I didn't see before, so I really like that.
Yeah, I was worried about it because I hadn't heard anything about it. Then when I got it, I was like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Like this. This is a lot smoother than last year.
Well, I will say that I'm kind of disappointed that some other teams don't have more of their games up there, but, you know, that's something else.
And I will agree with that because I don't have the Seattle-Chicago game available to me.
Exactly.
And that was the last game that they played last year, and I was like, man, where is this game?
Yeah,
I know it's supposed
games,
to be the last game of the
really,
season.
Yeah, those games should be up there. I mean, our games are certainly up there against the Amazons, against Chicago.
I saw your Chicago game, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, I just really feel that it should be, if we're going to share film and film is out there on teams, that it needs to be out there on everyone and not just on certain particular teams. However, you know, you still got to stop me.
Oh, exactly. Well, that's one of the things I like about it is the fact that if you don't upload film, you don't get film.
Yeah.
So I like that part about it. I think that's the big thing that I'm happy to see because if you're not going to upload film, guess what? You don't get to download mine.
Yeah, but you know what? Film is important for all of our teams to get better.
How
that's
we get better.
One of the things we do. We watch film every week on ourselves and on our opponents.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with this program, but Vimeo Online is a free website that you can upload video to. And
yeah,
I actually
was telling
do
me about
the,
that.
Yeah, and I do that, and I mean, we have that round robin, and it's been viewed over 100 times by my players, over and over again. And we have film at my house. I put up the big projector on the sidewall, and we all sit out in the yard, and I have my little red pointer, and we have a good time, you know, reviewing film. And
I might have
some interest.
I might have to hit you up and just kind of find out a little bit more about that.
Yeah, because actually, off the round robin that we did, I connected Tucson with it, and I connected SoCal with it, too, so that, it's also a good way so your players can just access it whenever you want. And, you know, even if you're uploading a lot of film, it's only $60 a year.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's pretty tight. One of these days I'm actually going to mention it to the league so that maybe they can get in something with that and maybe get us a discount or some sort of sponsorship out of it. Because, I mean, if all the teams start using it with their players, that might be something worthwhile.
Absolutely.
I want to appreciate, show my thanks for you coming on the show. It's nice to have a championship coach out here. I hope to have more coaches through the weeks and go over different issues and stuff out there, but it's really cool. I really have a lot of respect for you and your team and the program that you run, and thank you very much for being on your show,
thank
being
you.
On my show, and giving me your 2 cents.
And, Coach, good luck to you and your girls this year. We hope to see you down the road.
Oh, I hope to, too. I want to see how slow we are compared to all your fast humans out there.
We got some new blood this year,
much.
So we got some new blood this year. I'm really happy with our new groups.
Yeah, I looked at your roster, and I was happy to see that you had more than 24 people this year. I was like, good, they have some some options over there.
Yeah, that's the first
thing. All right, well, good luck in your season, and, yes, hopefully see you down the road, Coach.
Okay, thanks, kid. Take care.
Thanks. All right, that was Coach Ed, the coach of the Kansas City Tribe, the defending champions this year. He says, you know, they try not to worry about the pressure, but the pressure's there because when you're the defending champion, you always have the target on your back. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to affect him and his sleep. So, like I said, I was on the sideline, and I saw how cool and collected he was on the sideline, and I'm just like, wow, that's totally not me. I'd be hooping and hollering and screaming. I had a hard time just handing the ref balls to make sure I wasn't hooping and hollering and screaming. So, I'm a very emotional sideline personality. That's why I usually stick myself in the booth so that I can not scare the ladies on the field. So that was him, and I will agree with him on that Chicago Forest-Wisconsin Warriors game. I will be going over that game and giving you my picks for that game as well because that's one of the 4 or 5 huge games I see. Wisconsin earned a lot of respect for me during the All-Star event that I participated with, not only because they won the championship, but because I got to hang out with some of their players on the All-Star team, and I got to get some help from their coaches. Coach Smith of the Monsoon was supposed to be an assistant coach with me on the All-Star game. he got stranded in Denver for a multitude of hours and decided just to go home because it was easier to get there than to Austin, Texas. And then Coach Konecki had a family emergency, and he had to leave, so I was the only coach there. Luckily, the Wisconsin Warriors had two coaches that were voted to the All-Star game, and not only coached the championship game, but coached the All-Star game with me. So Coach K helped me out. He's a head coach, and Coach Mack was a very popular coach in the All-Star game. He is now on the line, and he will be talking with me about Team USA. BJ, have you unmuted Coach Mack?
Coach Josh, am I connected with you now?
Yes, you are, Coach Mack. I hear you loud and clear. How are you, you energetic fool?
Well, I'll tell you, Coach Josh, after that introduction you just gave and being very popular again, the shoes are getting bigger and the weight's getting heavier on the shoulders. I feel like the Kansas City coach where, you know, he's got either a reputation that to live up to or the bar's just been raised that much further also. So.
Well, guess what? You only have 2 days, 20 hours, 24 minutes, and 10, 9, 8 seconds till your first game. So no worries. You got plenty of time to shake those nerves. It's
well,
okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And the way the Kansas City coach put it, that that might be one of the banner games this year. Yes, John Konecki at Chicago does one heck of a job. He's got an experienced quarterback. They've got some very skilled people. They got an offensive line that's like the steel curtain, and I think they their defense gives up points almost as reluctantly as Republicans do to the Democrats. So we do have our work cut out for us.
Look at that, a political joke in there and everything. No wonder the players love you so much. So, I just so you know, in case you didn't know, I mean, the players, almost every All-Star that I talked to were super impressed with your energy and your coaching style and tactics. They learned a lot. And I told Ninji you said hello, and she was like,
okay, thank you,
Mike. All excited. She got all excited, and she's like, when are you talking to him? I was like, oh, he's going to be on my show on Wednesday. She's like, oh, I miss Coach Mack, and she's actually living with me right now.
Well, no, I don't think I'm going to go any further than to say, well, I think that's wonderful. Okay, I won't delve into that one way or the other.
Thank you, Coach, for being so
well,
PC.
You know, that kind of a positive feedback, though, on a serious side, Josh, you know, some people might say, why have you coached? You know, here I'm a retired teacher, and why do you keep at it and stuff? You know, the educator in me always hopes that you can make, you know, like say a positive difference in somebody. You can make a difference in their lives, coaching, teaching, whatever it may be. And often I think that these ladies need to understand that they affect my life also, that, you know, there's Kwenge, you know, is one I'll never forget. I had that opportunity for 3 hours, 5 hours, whatever it might be. I had that opportunity to work with her, and she's got a spot in my heart forever that I'll just remember. And, you know, just what a gung-ho person she was, not just football player, just not athlete, but just what a class person. And that's the experience I got out of that whole All-Star. That's the experience I've gotten out of women's football, you know, is the feedback from the ladies is just that they're always so appreciative or so positive. Not that we won't have our words at a practice or during a game or a little bit of a turmoil, but it's always from the very positive standpoint where, you know, you think you can do some things like I say, to improve them either as an athlete, as a person. You and I are in a position different than people who coach men's football all the time in that you could have a rookie this year that when she stepped into camp, she maybe didn't know the difference between a first down and a touchdown. But now you've got this girl where it's either a three-point stance, a linebacker stance, a D-back stance, running routes, whatever, where you say, you know what, we're making a football player out of this lady and an athlete. And I think that's ways that we can measure successes in our profession also.
Yeah, I actually like how you just put that, turning men to football players, because last night was the first night I actually referred to my team as football players and not ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I said that based on the practice last night, I was like, you have earned the title of actual football players now. That was a something that they impressed me with the way that they ran, they moved from station to station. They were very energetic and positive about everything that they did and the way they executed each and every play and scheme. I was like, you guys are football players now, ladies. You guys are football players. I'm not going to call you ladies anymore. You're going to be football players until you prove me differently. And I think it's important that coaches out there realize that there's a major transition going on from the delicate, sensitive nature as perceived by the majority of the world about women, and them playing this male-dominated, very, very frenetic sport of football. So,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly, Coach. You know, people, when they think of, say, men's football, women's tackle football, well, unfortunately, there's bad press like the Lingerie Bowl and some of the things that kind of put that not such a good atmosphere to it, you know, sex sells type of thing. Women bring the same passion, the same love, maybe a little bit different physical level of size, speed, athleticism, but the passion, the love of the game is there, the knowledge of the game, the willing to study for the game, the willing to work in the off season for the game. The salaries aren't there. The endorsements aren't there. It's, you know, we could be cliche and say it's like that Madonna movie, A League of Their Own, but that's really what it is. They're willing to carpool. They're willing to fundraise. They're willing to do what they can do because they love the sport. They love the execution. They love the team concept. They bond so well together, and there is a sisterhood that people should know don't mess with also.
Yeah, that's very true. I think a lot of people don't know about that. And, you know, I'll talk about the Lingerie League probably in my closing because I do have a little bit of I have a little bit of insight into that because I'm on kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of interest in and opinions about that. So that'll be my little thing at the end where I leave a little controversial.
I gave you a little soapbox
to climb
up on your saying, Josh.
No soapbox. I'm just going to leave a little controversy out there to hopefully liven up the board because it's game week and I don't see anybody talking out there. So So there. Thank you for all that discussion right there. That was awesome. And now I want to turn your focus to something that you specifically said you wanted to talk about, but don't worry, I already had it written down as the main topic, and that's USA football. Team USA, congratulations on your nomination or choosing for the special teams coordinator. That's freaking phenomenal. Wow.
Yeah. And, Josh, I think that goes in line with what we were just saying about women's football, say whether it is the Lingerie Bowl, and I won't use that term anymore because – That's nothing that we are about. But this Team USA, first of all, I do have to tell you, I am just humbled. I mean, I'm saying this, Josh, I am humbled that I would be considered in the same breath as the best of the best in the IWFL. Okay, to have a chance, again, just like when I worked with you in the All-Star game, to have a chance to work with the best and maybe take that next step, Josh, that's going to promote women's football. I mean, I don't know if the people listening, just like you said, they really don't know that aspect of women's football, the passion, the love, the dedication these ladies bring. Also the fact that this Team USA, this is a huge event. We're talking a World Cup-type atmosphere in which there's gold medal rounds, you know, the playoff-type system that they've got set up. There's six nations coming to this thing. This could be a little something, again, not a little something, a huge something that, again, that can take the sport of women's football and the things that the IWFL and those founders, Laurie and Kezzy, have been trying to get going and, you know, add the professionalism and things to it. That's what this, this is the vehicle that we have been presented with. And with having said that, and two, you know, the burden of winning and whatever, we go over to Europe and there could be two people in the stands could be filled. They're there for one reason, and that's to see the Americans. Just like the dream team in Olympic basketball or anything, this is an American sport, and they're there to see the Americans. And if they can upset the Americans, good for them, bad for us. So it's a huge opportunity for the entire league in all of women's football to put it on an international stage like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very difficult growing women's football in the continent for the United States in general. I mean, we have a lot of teams right now. The IWFL is somewhere in the 40s and 50s. I mean, I'm not specific because I know a couple teams have taken the year off, so I don't know how many active teams there are, but I know it's more than 40. The other league has a lot of teams too. So, I mean, we're growing in teams, but we're not growing in stature. And I think that the international play should at least open to people's eyes, because we've had a lot of good publicity in the IWFL recently. We've Natalie Randolph of the DC Divas was just named head coach at a men's high school football team.
Yeah.
And that's been on everything. I mean, I turned on my non-cable TV and Natalie Randolph was being interviewed on TV. And I was like, that's on people. If you don't even have to have DirecTV or cable to see that, that's on regular over-the-air antenna television. And that's huge because every time she's interviewed, they're like, how did you get into football? Well, I played football in the IWFL for the DC Divas. And it's like
exactly.
there is great. And, I mean, that kind of publicity, they say you can't buy. Well, she paid for it. She paid for it in blood, sweat, and tears, and some cash. So,
yes,
I think anything that we can do to positively promote the sport here in America and across the seas is awesome. Now, with that said, what are your plans for Switzerland? Because I've never been. I'm going to Europe this summer, which is one of the reasons why I didn't apply, because I knew I wouldn't have money to do both.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my girl are going to England, Ireland, and Scotland. And but what are you going to do in, besides football? What are you looking to get done over there, and how are you going to keep the girls focused with being
Well, you know, that's a very good question, Josh. First of all, we're doing Sweden, not Switzerland. It is Sweden.
Sweden.
It'll be Sweden. And in numerous phone calls that I've had with John Konecki, who will be obviously the head coach of this Team USA, and he asked me about, you know, coming on as an assistant and things, working with his D-backs, and I told him, you know, wherever you need me, I'd be willing to fill in. But to get back to the Sweden thing, and even when we're down in Austin, I mean, obviously this is such a golden opportunity that we want to stay focused. We're there to win the gold. I mean, and that's what the ladies on the team, you know, I mean, they have to picture that gold medal going around their neck. They are placing the medal around the neck. They're playing the national anthem. That flag is being raised, and we are being victorious. We are being ambassadors and sportsmen of the U.S. of A. We're there for that reason. Now, being in Sweden, I'm hoping that there is time that we can also be a tourist. Not the ugly American tourist, but a classy tourist, a good representative of the USA. Some people may not have been out of their state before. Well, this is Sweden. This isn't the county you live in or the city you live in. It's a different country. It's everything. So I'm hoping we have time for both. Even when we're in Austin, I'm hoping, hey, if we could, can we get them all on a bus, take them to the University of Texas? Can we walk their weight facility? Can we see, you know, the football field? I know that when we were down there for the championship game, Coach K and I took some time to go to University of Texas and see their field and, you know, the coaching offices and things. So, you know, it's that fine line, Josh, between, you know, you need to enjoy the moment, but let's not forget what brought us to this moment.
Yes, I totally agree with you there, and I apologize for saying Switzerland because
notes
as SW.
Yeah,
I had my
yeah,
SW
very easily, very easily.
Yeah.
But it's over there. So, and the challenge to us is, you know, in 4 or 5 days, we've got to put together, much like you and I had to do for the All-Star game, only we had, about 3 hours? All of the players there for those 3 hours or 2 hours of practice. We have to put a team together of all stars as a team and get them to mesh. And also remember, you represent the U.S. of A.
Yeah, it's definitely not traveling to from Wisconsin to Chicago or from, you know, Seattle to Southern California. It's crossing a really big ocean to going somewhere that they don't even speak the same language.
Exactly.
So,
and currency's not the same. Your cell phone doesn't plug into the same type of plug. The curling iron, if you have one, doesn't plug into the same kind of plug. It's different. Spices are different for food. There's a lot of things that, you know, need to be discussed, talked about, and gone through, and those kinds of things. But I am hoping that, not an exact comparison, but Team USA, this women's football team, like I say, this is like the Olympic basketball team, the first dream team with Jordan and Magic and Bird and that group, or it's like the 80 Olympic hockey team. I am hoping that people are cheering USA, USA, and that kind of excitement just pervades everything that we do and every place that we go is that they're happy to see an American, talk with an American, watch an American. And a women's football player, an athlete.
Yes. I'm so glad I am not doing this right now because I don't know where I would put all this time in, and you're defending – you're the assistant head coach and defensive coordinator, correct, for the Warriors?
Correct.
All right. So
that is correct.
You have game planning to do for every single team that you play this year, and then you have all this extra stuff to deal with with the TMUSA. How do you actually balance all of that stuff for you? Like, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm going crazy over here just with the stuff I have to deal with. How are you doing it?
Well, one thing that helps is I've been tutored quite well by Coach Killian, who is a highly organized, you know that? You saw that from working
yes.
with him. Coach Killian keeps everything in perspective and pretty good disciplinarian when it comes to, you know, keeping your time on task and things like that. One thing that did help, Josh, is obviously the coming up with the roster and what advice I could give John Konecki and things like that towards who I felt strongly about having on the roster. Those things could get done. Some of the questions I would have logistically about organizing this trip over there. Like I said, you know, if nobody's thought about it, well, okay, you need power converters. Do your cell phones work there? Ladies, let's get your medical records. Do you have enough of your prescription if that's what you're on? Your inhalers, whatever those might be. There's a lot of things
passports.
To think about. Huh?
Get those passports.
Oh, the passport's got to be taken care of. Like I said, if there's money exchange, we're going to be in Austin 4 or 5 days. I'm hoping that we have laundry facilities so that when these ladies pack and the athletes pack to go to Europe, they don't have to pack the dirty, sweaty practice stuff that we've used, that everything's clean and ready to go, and we can get going. You know, are we flying Southwest where bags fly free, or do we have to start paying for our equipment bags? A lot of things. But, you know, we tried to get some of those things taken care of, and then once the season officially kicks off, well, for about the last 4 or 5 weeks, my thoughts, maybe not five, 4 weeks, my thoughts have been, okay, John Konecki, I got to worry about you and Chicago Force. I am going to kind of put some of this Team USA thing on the side burner and I'm going to concentrate on what I need to, because my girls they deserve 110% of my effort, concentration, and time. So, but now I could be at our Warrior practice and we're doing something, I'm going, now, you know what, when it comes to this Team USA, maybe if we tried this a little different, that a little different, or, no, I like the way we do this, we're going to do that. So, you know, your thoughts do wander a little bit. But
yeah, and I can imagine. I mean, I saw the way Coach K is very organized, and I pride myself on being I'm an accountant, so I'm ridiculously anal about being organized.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you saw that I had a playbook ready so that if anybody had questions
yep.
and they couldn't get a hold of the coach,
yep.
they had a playbook, and, you know, it would be overwhelming, and it's something I hope to do eventually. It's just I knew that I was not ready for that this year, and I'm glad after seeing the people that are on that coaching staff, I think they're in very good hands, and I was super excited when I saw your name on there. I could not believe
well,
it. I was like, Coach Beck's on there. That's awesome.
Thank
I was like,
you.
Because
thank
I,
you.
I don't know what it is about you, but the players respond to the way that you coach, and certain coaches can do that and act that way, and some coaches can't, and I mean, to have a coach like that on the roster, it can only help. And I want to congratulate you again. And I know you said you're humbled by it, and you deserve it, Coach. You deserve it. I only worked with you for 2 days, and I knew that you deserved to be on that team once I saw your name on there. So,
thank you. I'm blushing.
Sorry, Coach.
Can't say that right now, but I am blushing.
Ah, well, see, I can make a man blush too, ladies. That's for our team that's listening. But yeah. They'll have fun with that at practice tomorrow, I'm sure. Where was I going with that? I just lost my whole train of thought. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad I could do that, too. See, if I can do the same thing this Saturday about 3 o'clock to John Konecki or their D coordinator, if they can go, oh, geez, I lost my whole train of thought, then we should be in pretty good shape. Well, let me help you on a couple of trains of thought. And here's where I'm coming from, too, whether it's Team USA or Wisconsin Warriors, because you said some very complimentary things to the KC coach, and he talked about some things. When I said being good representatives of America, and I think our ladies need to understand that too, you know, you mentioned my coaching style. And again, people might ask, what's the difference between coaching men, coaching women? Well, obviously there's a gender difference, all of those kinds of things. But, you know, I've always felt that if you treat people with respect and you treat people positively, I'm not going to treat, say, a male athlete different than a female athlete in that I'm going to try and teach them, treat them both with respect and try and bring the best out of them that they have to do. And hopefully that's something that maybe, as you said, some of those girls would respond to, and that I am trying to be sincere in my efforts with them to make them better, to get them going better. And I think Team USA, IWFL, that's a challenge to all of us, Josh, when you said, you know, that, you know, we're getting a lot of teams, but we're not getting the notoriety, we're not getting the exposures. Well, each individual player, each individual coach has to say to themselves, what can I do to raise the bar myself? Either through learning more about the sport, learning about injury prevention, maybe learning something about nutrition, and in my conduct on and off the field as a coach, what can I do that when people come, they're not embarrassed by what they see, the language doesn't embarrass them, gestures don't embarrass them, the way we dress doesn't embarrass them, that they go, you know what, this is a professional act, this is a class act, I want to come by and see, come back and see this again. That's a challenge to all of us as coaches and players.
And I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, that's one of the things I'm very proud to be part of the California Quake organization. We are a very, very well-run machine, and it's very professional-like, and we get compliments from the other teams on how well we act and present ourselves when we travel and how hospitable we are during home games for the traveling team. So, I mean, I think that's very important, and it starts at the bottom, and that's with the individual players, coaches, then up to the management, then up to the league, and I think this thing's got to be done. I mean, we're a lot further, women's football, that is, than when we joined way back when. And I know you were with the Northern Ice way back in all those days?
No, I was not.
You were not. Okay, well, no. I played Coach K when I was with the Aftershock when we came up to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I had my first introduction to Brenda, who's just ridiculous on the football field. She's got to be one of the top five athletes ever to play this game, along with Springer and a couple others that I don't have time to go into. But I mean,
sure,
I really liked where we were then, and I cannot believe how far we have come now. So everybody just now joining, they don't realize how good it is right now, but we have so much farther to go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree with you.
Really
I can't comment back, you know, like you say, the Northern Ice days, but now you walk into stadiums. I mean, you take a look at that championship venue. I mean, you got a Jumbotron, you got the cooling fans, you got a three-story press box. I mean, this isn't, you know, sandlot football, and we're not drawing things in the dirt. You know, you mentioned Brenda and how ridiculously talented, as you say, she was and stuff. Well, that's the thing, too, in women's football, all of a sudden you're starting to get the icons, you know, like men started out with the Red Granges and the Bronco Nagurskis, and now you have your Jessica Springers, you have your Brenda Van Kuykens, and you have how many other types of people that are just legend within the sport that other people,
yes,
you know, they just they give their eye tooth to either be on the same field with, much like men athletes did years ago, or, you know, you get that little seventh-grade boy at the varsity football game, watching the Friday night football game, and he's got his little Pop Warner jersey on. He's just waiting for the day that he can be on that field and play high school football. Well, we've got some girls now that say, I want to play with a Brenda Van Kuyk. I want to play with a so-and-so. I want to play with a so-and-so. I can't wait
till
I do that. That's just such a neat thing. So.
I get you. It's hard to put across to these ladies, but do you realize that you're the black and white film that you see on Showtime of the NFL way back when?
Oh, exactly.
That's you right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
You're going to be
they
in
are.
Color, and you're going to be in color. They're going to have documentaries on you in 20 years saying these are the women that worked at the lawyer's office as a paralegal, or was a nurse, or was a teacher, or was unemployed, sacrificing everything they could to play football, and you know, do they realize the impact that they have? And women's football is not going away. I'm not going anywhere.
No.
So I just hope that the coaches involved
sure.
keep moving forward and keep promoting the sport in a positive aspect. And I think this Team USA thing is going to be great for the sport and the IWFL to keep proving that women's football is here to stay and is not just some flash in the pan. So
exactly.
I want to thank you very much, Coach.
Yeah.
Thank
You're
you very
welcome.
Much for being
You're
on
welcome.
There. You've been awesome to talk to. Good luck this weekend against, you know, that Tier 1 powerhouse team, the Chicago Forest. I know you'll be fine. It's glad to see you've got more people on your roster this year. And I know you and Coach K are taking care of business at practice. So I look forward to seeing that score Saturday, okay?
Well, I got one last comment. Let's thank, and I want to thank you for having me on. But let's give a shout-out and a thank-out when you say, you know, women's football here. Lori and Kezzy, thank you. They've given us the opportunity. I know they get a lot of heat sometimes, and it's always the complaints, and I wonder if whoever taken a chance to say, thanks for the opportunity, thanks for the headaches that this league and this venue is there for all of the good things you and I have just talked about to occur.
Oh yeah, they listen. They listen to my show. Sometimes live, sometimes the next day. But they will appreciate that. And I've talked to them numerous times about things that I've said and things that talking, interviewing with them off the air, stuff like that. And I hope they know how much I appreciate them too, because you know the way that they run this league, people have bashed and praised, and no matter what people think, it's always moved forward. So
exactly.
I appreciate everything they've done and the fact that I can coach women's football because the IWSL is such a well-run organization.
Exactly. I'm sure they've had their moments where they're going, why are we doing this? But, by God, they have persevered for us, too, so I appreciate it. So, Josh, if you need to cut me off, cut me off. But like I say, I'm a former teacher, and Norm always makes this comment, too. I can keep talking. But if you need to cut it off, you cut it off. So.
Oh, I'm not cutting you off. I'm just saying I think we got enough in tonight, and I'm going to have you on later so that we can talk more. How about that?
Okay. That's a deal, Josh. Yeah, good luck to
All right.
Good luck to your ladies. Let's hope everybody has a injury-free year and just, again, a very positive year.
Yes. Thank you very much, Coach Mack. You've been a pleasure
okay.
to talk to, and I will talk to you very soon, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye, Josh.
Bye-bye. Have a good night. And I would like to thank Coach Ed and Coach Mack for being on because they are on Central Time, so it is pretty late for them. It's almost 10 p.m. over there for them, and they stayed up, hopped on the show, and gave me some good feedback and good conversation pieces. And I hope everybody out there is listening that has enjoyed it and learned a little bit of something about what coaches go through and what our thoughts are, stuff like that, because that's what this is about. This isn't about this show is about coaching. Third and long with Coach Penn. What do you do on third and long? Every coach has a different method, and you're seeing that a lot of coaches think alike. I've had Konecki on my show. I've had Duncan on my show. I've had a couple other coaches. Coach Mark Rings has been on my show. I've had several coaches on my show, and then the shows that I do in the future should have more and more coaches. A little bit sad that Coach K wasn't able to be on. He obviously didn't get the email in time, but, I mean, he's a real personality. I mean, that guy is awesome. I learned a lot from him. I mean, he has 40-plus years experience, and any coach, no matter how many years experience you have, that you could learn something from Coach K. He was a pleasure to deal with, and I was just super, super impressed with Coach Mack because the way that the players responded to him, and that's huge in women's football because if you don't have the players behind you, it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are or how well you scheme things out. If the players don't buy into what you're coaching or who you are as a coach, it just doesn't work. And I think all the coaches can continue to work to get better, to make the teams better, and I think that's very, very important. So thank you to all three coaches who've been on tonight. It made the show fantastic. But guess what? We're not done yet. Yes, I've been on since 7. Usually I'm done by 8, but not this time because I have week 1 in front of me. Week 1 for the IWFL involves a lot of games. And just so you know, week 1 is Saturday, April 3rd. April 3rd is in a couple days. 2 days, 19 hours, 7 minutes, and 3 seconds. Eastern Standard Time. That's pretty close. Pretty close, ladies and coaches and everybody out there in women's football world. It's right around the corner. Football's gonna start. Everybody should be excited. It's a great thing to be doing because practice isn't over, but you get to do something else besides hit your teammates and friends. And oh man, it's nice. We were lucky enough to host another round robin this year. That an idea that we got from Dion, Coach Lee, had a Laughlin scrimmage that he had a bunch of teams down, and it was a great event. And then when he no longer had it, we picked it up for the IWFL, and we continued with it, and we had our second annual one. And this year we had the Scorpions in there, we had the Monsoon, we had the Breakers, and us, of course. Seattle wanted to come down, but they couldn't because they were coming down in 3 weeks anyway, so that would just have been a huge expense for them. So we understand why they couldn't come, but next year we hopefully get Sacramento, San Francisco, maybe Modesto in there if they can work it in. I mean, we'd like to grow and have 6 to 8 teams in there so everybody can get those jitters out because you don't want to be getting jitters out on the first day. I mean, all of our teams have so many rookies. BJ popped on the board and said that Chicago has a lot of rookies this year. I have not talked to Coach Konecki, so I do not know if that's true. And because I lost my zip drive when I went to the All-Star game. I lost all the rosters from last year because I always like to save them and compare next year's roster to see how many people have returned. Now, I know I looked at it and I saw a couple very familiar names on there. So, I mean, I know for the most part, the people that matter, I guess, I don't mean that the people that don't matter, because that's just wrong, and I don't mean it that way. But Zuby's back. I liked Zuby a lot. Got to coach her in the All-Star game. Grisafi, no disrespect to Smith for the KC Tribe, but to me, Grisafi is probably the most polished quarterback in the football league. I mean, you can say what you will about different types of quarterbacks, but Grisafi is kind of like a pocket passer or drop back passer. While they do play out the shotgun a lot, she to me is top of the key. Jenny Schmidt was very good, and I would have loved to have her to work in the All-Star game, but I did get to see her some during practice, and I got to see her right in person, up close and personal during the championship game, and I was very impressed with her. Lisa Horton for the Pittsburgh Passion, she was amazing. We played her in the All-Star game. We could not stop her to save our life. She single-handedly destroyed us. And then that receiver from Carolina, oh, man, her and Lisa, don't let them ever get on the team together because they were on like Donkey Kong. But let me see. Some of these other big names for Chicago, I sort of got off onto a tangent there. Let me see if 67 is back. Leslie's back. She's a big one. Jamie Menzik, I always messed up her name when I was there, but she was a guard when I was there, and she had mentioned to me that she wanted to play fullback the following year. And, I mean, she had very quick feet. She was a good size girl. I mean, I told her, if she wanted to lose 15, 20 pounds, she could by working out really hard. But, I mean, the size that she was and the foot speed she had, she could totally play fullback. And, I mean, I was impressed with her, but it looks like she's back on the line. Let me see on here. I'm trying to read numbers. Is Taylor back? Don Peterson's back. Let me see. And she was on the All-Star team as well. I mean, I had so many Chicago Force on the All-Star team. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're a pretty stacked team. So if those All-Stars came back, they have a really good base to build from, and the rookies have a very good set of veterans to learn from. So that's pretty cool right there. But let's get on to those games. Obviously, the Wisconsin Warriors, Chicago Force, as was brought up by Coach Ed, is a big game, and then Coach Max, part of one of those two teams, and he's actually, you know, dealing with Coach Konecki on a, looks like, weekly basis, if not daily, for the Team USA. That's a big game because I consider the Wisconsin Warriors Tier 1, and it's a measuring stick for them. If they can give a good fight to Chicago or keep up with Chicago, they're going to be hard to mess with this year. I mean, they got a lot of new people on their roster that I saw. They don't have just 19 people this year. So that's going to be a big game. Wisconsin's going to see how big of a chance they have at repeating. Let me see. Coach Ed put the offensive line for Chicago as their best unit. Believe me. Everyone on their offensive line made the All-Star team. And I don't know if I'm spilling beans here or not, but the rule was you shouldn't have too many of one team in at the All-Star game at one time. And I could have easily put in all five Chicago Force line, on the line, to see how they did. But I was advised not to do stuff like that, so I didn't. But, I mean, it was impressive to see their offensive line. They are a very good offensive line, so I will give that props where it's deserved. Grisafi is well protected. So the Chicago Force Warriors is I would say that's the number three game for me. That's probably the third video I'll watch after this weekend, assuming it's uploaded. The couple new teams joining the NFL, let me cover those real quick. The H-Town Cyclones, which is based in Houston, they joined. They go up against Louisiana Fuel, so not really sure what to expect there, but it's a new team joining, so let's see what's going to go on there. Let's see. The Memphis Belles. Memphis Belles join the NFL, and they go against the Louisville Nightmare, so that'll be an interesting game to see how the Belles match up in their new league. Then we have the Binghamton Tiger Cats. Now, they never played in a different league, but they were signed on. They probably have the biggest challenge of the new teams because they play the Montreal Blitz. The Montreal Blitz is the model for consistency in Tier 2. There's been 2 years we've had a Tier 2 championship game. Montreal's been to both of them. They won the first one, lost the second one. So Binghamton basically gets to say, let's see what we're all about against the best, one of the best that the Tier 2 has to offer. Now, on the other Tier 2 game that I'm looking for is the Phoenix and the Carolina Queens. Carolinas, Battle of the Carolinas. The game in the playoffs last year decided who was moving on. and that was the Phoenix. The Phoenix took 2 out of 3, including that playoff game, and then ended up losing to Montreal. So the Phoenix is, I think the only game they lost is when they went to the Queens. So that'll be an interesting Tier 2 game and should really show some stuff. Now, I've seen a lot of talk about the Jersey Justice on the board. People are hyping them like crazy. Jersey Justice this. Manchester Freedom, kind of an anomaly to me because they have a really good running back, and I don't have her name, but I know I've mentioned her on several other shows. So I'm going to be interested in watching that Tier 2 game and see how that shakes out. The last Tier 2 game that I have that I really am interested in is because I play both of the teams and have already seen both of the teams play this year and have played against them, the SoCal Breakers and Tucson Monsoon. Last year they split with the home teams taking each game. Both of these teams are very improved. There. You got some inside info for me, everybody that plays those two teams. Coach Smith with Tucson is no joke. He is building a real team over there. These ladies aren't just goofing around playing football to play football. They're looking to become a football team. And I got to hang out with a lot of the team and Coach Smith after our round robin. And the ladies are really energetic, and they have their starting quarterback back. Last year, the Quake actually took out their quarterback in the round robin, so we actually changed the rules this year where quarterbacks had a quick whistle and weren't live unless they made themselves live. So, they have their starting quarterback back this year, and they should be a team to be reckoned with in Tier 2. They had a very good season last year. I'm looking for bigger and better things from them, but first, they have to prove themselves against the SoCal Breakers. SoCal Breakers are a completely new team, sort of like my team this year. Every year it seems like I have a brand new team. I mean, we have a core group of returners and then, 28 rookies. So it's pretty interesting to see the Breakers because I was really impressed with how well the Breakers performed during the round robin. And their best performance was against us, and that's probably we're each other's biggest rivalries because we're so close to each other. We have so many connections. Coach Manny used to coach the Quake, and I used to coach with him. So we always get along, but I think that's a very cool game, and I can't wait to see how that is. It's in Tucson, and last year that's where Tucson won, so we'll see that. On to Tier 1. Once again, everybody, this is 3rd and 10 with Coach Long. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the coaches that called in. Right now we're doing the Week 1 preview part. So as we talked with Coach Ed, we mentioned the KC Tribe go against the Iowa Crush. Last year they did just that. They crushed them, but they got to get back to work and know that the target is on their back. Measuring stick game, ding, ding, ding. Houston Energy versus the Dallas Diamonds. Last year we're like, rivalry renewed, yes, woohoo, bye-bye Houston Energy. Dallas just killed them. So I'm wondering if Houston, with a year under their belt, got things together. Has Dallas slipped a little bit? Let's see. I bet you Dallas is reinvigorated because they lost in the playoffs in a heartbreaker. And I can guarantee you Dallas has got that frothing in the mouth. Springer's back, and I saw a couple other big names. Walter's back. So they have a pretty big roster, and it's always interesting to watch Dallas play. Let's see. Who else do I got on here? Philadelphia Firebirds and Baltimore Nighthawks. Last year, this was a close game, and this is where you're going to learn how much things change. Is it going to be close again? Because if it isn't, somebody improved, somebody didn't, and what's the deal? It's so crazy with women's football how different things are from year to year. Yes, things do stay similar, but nothing stays the same. Let me see. Sacramento. Sacramento's a Tier 1 team playing a Tier 2 team, but this Tier 2 team I think is going to surprise a little bit, a lot of people. The Bay Area Bandits have a lot of experience on the team. Some of the Santa Rosa Scorchers are on that team. Some of the Oakland Banshees are on that team. And they have a couple other area teams that have built in there. And they've been waiting to play football for like 18 months. They were announced for the other league, and then they ended up joining the IWFL. Bay Area is here. Sacramento, tell us what they're all about. Because Sacramento's no joke. They took the Amazons to 1 point. And then the Amazons took KC to 1 point, or I think it was like 30-some seconds left in the game. So, I mean, it's going to be a measuring stick for them for sure. If they can keep up with Sacramento, then they know they're a pretty darn good Tier 2 team. And if they can actually slow down Sacramento and manage to move the ball, they know they can be a good Tier 2 team, because last year Sacramento dominated up a lot of people, including us in that first game. They do not start slow. If you cannot get on them quick, they're very well coached. Let's see. My game is the Majestics and the Quake, and the reason this is so interesting, because this is the farthest Seattle's ever had to travel for a game. So, and I didn't know this until a couple weeks ago, but they have a first-year head coach. So basically all the film that I've been doing on them is pointless, because we don't know what he runs, and because he's been coaching youth football, and how easy is it to get film on what kind of offense or defense he runs. So we have no clue, and that's always kind of scary going into as a coach. I'll give you that aspect and my thoughts about that. Let's see what else is on there. The last game, which is a very interest to me and should be, the last time this team stepped on the field, they won a championship. It was in a different league, but championships are championships. The SoCal Scorpions 2007 won a championship. Took a year off. A couple of the players played with me last year. And they are going to renew a nasty rivalry and a very old rivalry that with the Amazons. The Amazons, of course, are the West Coast team right now. Seattle and L.A. were both very good last year and took it to the playoffs with Seattle losing to Chicago and then L.A. losing in Kansas City, which is kind of controversial, but I think that's been fixed this year. I don't think we'll have any 8-0 teams traveling to a team with a loss. Sorry, Coach Ed. But the Amazons, Scorpions are going to get a rude awakening real quick. Welcome back to football. Nothing like playing your rival. I just asked Houston the energy last year when they had to go against Dallas, and Dallas was like, hey, guys, remember us? Yeah, we're still that good, and we didn't take that year off. So that should be interesting for me. Week two is where things get a little bit iffy for me, because we're not really sure who's what. And in week two, we got a lot of craziness happening, and I don't see any major games. I just look through these things, and I'm like, who's going on? And then bing, 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 bing. Dallas Diamonds at the KC Tribe. Holy cow. Talk about two heavyweights. Week two, I think all the focus is going to be right there. I mean, you have your regular games that are probably going to be pretty good, like the Shockwave and Bandits. You also have the Nighthawks and DC Divas. Let me see what else is out there. The Iowa Crush and Vixen is going to be a good game because they match up very well. And then you have the Sharks and Firebirds, and you also have the Sirens and Majestics, which is always a good game. But, I mean, just like a shooting star through the sky, you don't see any of the other stars with ones shooting across the sky. You see the Dallas Diamonds at the Kansas City Tribe. That right there is a measuring stick and will tell us a lot about this season. KC has that target on their back, just like Dallas did last year. Nobody hit that center of the dial to the playoffs. So will Kansas City carry that banner all the way? And just because they lose doesn't mean they're necessarily out or that Dallas is the new reigning champion to be, because Kansas City will get that go back to them May 22nd when they go back to Dallas. So I see a very interesting season in the IWFL. There's a lot of good teams out there. Some of the teams, like I said, people are talking about, Jersey Justice. I happen to think the Bay Area Bandits might be a Tier 2 sleeper. As for Tier 1 sleeper, hey, I'm a Tier 1 sleeper. California Quake. Yeah, we were 4-4. What were we last? I don't remember. What were we last year? Yeah, I think we were 4-4. Hey, I'm tooting my horn. We're going to do something. Watch out for us. Anybody that does, you're going to get surprised. Of course, we got to go through the Amazons, the Majestics, the Scorpions. I love the scheduling this year. Coach Ed and I were talking about, you know, how many different teams he faces. Seattle does the same thing. Seattle does play Portland 3 times, but other than that, their schedule is pretty diverse. Well, how's this for diverse? We play 7 different teams this year. That's pretty diverse, and I love the way that the schedule was made, and whoever is responsible for it, I don't know the names, I'm happy with it. I mean, there's a couple teams that, you know, got off easy, a couple teams that have a harder schedule than most, but I like the fact that we have different opponents spread throughout our schedule. The Tier 1, Tier 2 thing, people are always going to complain about, but you're not going to hear me complain about it. I think the schedule worked out great, especially for the West Coast teams, because there's so many different teams to play, and I think that list is just going to grow and grow, and Tier 1 and Tier 2 and eventually Tier 3 is going to really, really supply a pipeline to teaching these ladies how to play football, move up to the next level, and really create a nice feeder system for us to keep growing. And good luck to Team USA. I will definitely have a show before they actually play games. I will see if I can get Coach Konecki and some other coaches on, maybe during the the playoff review or playoff preview, I guess we could say. I'll do a mid-season review during my bye week. When is it? I don't know. Let's see if I can find out when our bye week is and give you a tentative date. May 15th. That's not a mid-season review, Josh. That's our first bye. We got to play six straight games. Oh, that's fun. May 15th, I'll do that mid-season review a little bit late. There'll be basically 3 to 4 weeks left in the season, so I'll do that then, and we'll go from there. But I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I'm Coach Penn, head coach of the California Quake. My opinions are of my own. Please don't take anything personally. I do not represent anybody but myself out here in Radio Land. I am a proud coach of women's football, and I look forward to everybody doing their part to further promote the sport in a positive manner and create something better each and every week. So thank you very much for everybody that listened tonight. I am going to say good night from Southern California, all you listeners around the world. Good night and good luck. Have a great weekend and have fun playing football, ladies. Good night.